Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We also welcome in our new sponsor, Enviro Heating and Air, servicing all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Coming up, we're going to hear from Boston Red Sox scout and Bay Area native Gary Hughes, who I was able to talk to at AT&T Park on Tuesday night before the Giants-Braves game. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the season. Man, 11 straight losses as I sit here and record this on Wednesday evening. 11 losses in a row. I got to say, I didn't see that coming with this team. That was pretty much a 500 team the whole season. And when you went back to the beginning of the season, you went back to spring training, I think there was some optimism that maybe this team could contend for a playoff spot. And I thought they did a great job early on of hanging in there when Madison Bumgarner was out and then Johnny Cueto was out. And they just kind of, you know, held their own, hung on, and they were sitting there at 500, and they were always around 4.5 to 6.5 games out of first place. So you always thought, man, if they could just have a good week or two, if they had that kind of a run in them, they could take over first place or they could be right there. But they just never did it. And the injuries definitely hurt. There's no doubt about that. But there are deficiencies in this team that going forward, the Giants are going to have to figure out ways to fix it. Now, a lot of the talk in the press box yesterday on Tuesday night was about what should they do as far as trades. And some of my colleagues brought up the fact that, you know, if you trade Madison Bumgarner, you're going to get a nice return for him. And after carefully thinking about that today, I just don't think it's the best idea. I think that you've got to build around Bumgarner. I think he's still going to be their top pitcher, and they're not going to have somebody that's just going to come in and replace him unless they want to go out in free agency and sign someone to a huge contract. And why do that when you already have Bumgarner? And I'm not saying that he's going to give the Giants a big discount, but he kind of owes the Giants a little bit based on what happened last season with the motorcycle accident. The dirt bike accident, not the motorcycle accident, but the dirt bike accident. So he kind of owes them a little bit there. I mean, I'm not sure that that's going to enter into the negotiations. He's not the same pitcher. He's lost a little bit off his fastball, but he's still their top pitcher. I mean, he's not one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, but he's their top pitcher. And if you can keep him on for 4 or 5 years, whatever it takes, I mean, I'm sure he's going to want big money. He's going to want over $100 million, but I just think it's better than trading him. You're not going to get that much in return that's going to help you right away that it's worth trading Bumgarner over the winter. So I keep Bumgarner. As far as some other players, Brandon Belt to me could be on the trade block. I mean, he still has enough talent that he, you know, his OPS is decent enough and he gets on base. He's a really good defensive first baseman, but he just has never reached his potential with the Giants. And I think he's just kind of had his ups and downs, and it might be time to cut bait there, see what you can get for him, even though he has a contract that runs for, I think, a few more years. And, you know, you look at first base and you can open that up for Buster Posey to go over there. Now, I don't think he's going to go over there next year, but, you know, you go and get somebody else to play first base. And maybe what you do is you have Chris Shaw go back to playing first base. I'm not sure how great of an outfielder he's going to be. And he did play some first base in the minor leagues. Now he's not going to be as good defensively as Brandon Belt. And he hasn't proven himself as a major league hitter. He's striking out a ton. He's got great power, but he's got to prove himself at the major league level. So first base is kind of open there if you do end up trading Brandon Belt. But I think in a couple of years, you're going to move Buster Posey over there because you're looking at him, he's going to get so banged up that he's not going to be useful as an offensive player anymore if you don't move him, or at least make him just a part-time catcher, and especially with Joey Bart coming soon. Maybe, you know, not next year, but maybe the year after. Maybe in 2020 you got Joey Bart. So that's my guess on first base, or at least what I think you could do. I don't trade Crawford. You can't trade Longoria with the contract he has. Joe Panic didn't have a great year, but maybe I still stick with him. I think the outfield, that's where you have to upgrade it. A lot of people talk about that. I agree that, you know, you got to upgrade the outfield. You got to go get a free agent. And Bob Nightingale is going to join us on our podcast tomorrow from USA Today. And, you know, he talks about how maybe the Giants will get into the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. I don't think that's a good idea. I just don't think Bryce Harper is going to be great for the amount of money he's going to cost. He's a low batting average guy right now. Yeah, he hits home runs. He's got a lot of talent. But I also kind of don't like his attitude. I mean, there have been times where he didn't run out balls. And, I mean, to me, you've got to be everything. You got to be hustling all the time. You've got to be the guy that everybody loves if you're going to pay that max contract, whatever it is, $300 million. So, you know, Giants, maybe they go get some other outfielder. Andrew McCutchen didn't work out exactly as planned, but maybe that's the type of thing. They look for a veteran guy to try to fill in there, you know, to take the place of Hunter Pence, who obviously is not going to be with the Giants anymore. His contract is up, and, you know, he might just retire. He probably should retire. You know, Steven Duggar hopefully locks down center field, hopefully comes back strong after the shoulder surgery. And then it's kind of up in the air out in the outfield. I mean, you've got outfielders like Chris Shaw, I already mentioned, Austin Slater, Mac Williamson, all of these guys that sort of had a chance to show what they can do, and none of them proved that they deserve to be an everyday outfielder. I think Slater proved that he deserves to be on the team, and Williamson was certainly exciting for some time there, but we don't know about his health, and you'd like to see him come back and help out, but you've got to get a couple of veteran outfielders that are really good hitters. You're going to have to pay money. You're going to have to make trades, whatever it takes. Two outfielders, maybe move Belt. You know, first base can definitely be figured out. Maybe Austin Slater plays over there, or Chris Shaw, like I said. And then, you know, in the bullpen, you definitely need to improve that. Hunter Strickland probably has to go. He didn't come back the way that you would like from the hand injury. He was throwing the ball pretty well earlier in the season, but he's kind of been a head case, and I think it's probably time to part ways with Strickland. And, you know, the short relievers, yeah, Tony Watson and Will Smith did a really nice job, but it would be great to get maybe one more guy in there that's a veteran guy without spending too much money. I mean, I think Ray Black's going to come on strong next year. He's learning. He's still learning how to pitch, even though he's not a youngster, but he's still learning how to harness that 99, 100 mile an hour fastball. You know, he wasn't healthy earlier in his career. Now that he's healthy, I could see him being the closer, maybe even as soon as next year, you know, because it would be better to have Will Smith setting him up and Melanson, of course, who's still here under contract. You know, as far as the rotation after Bumgarner, Derek Rodriguez, great year, of course, probably the best player right now on the team. I mean, the most exciting guy in the second half of the season. There's no doubt about that. Andrew Suarez has been a little bit up and down, but, you know, he's certainly going to vie for a spot in the rotation. You got to bring back Derek Holland. Holland pitched really well, and he likes pitching here. So you bring back Holland. Samardzija, complete question mark. You have no idea. You go out and get another starter. You hope that Chris Stratton figures it out as well, but you go get another starter. So starter, reliever, two outfielders, maybe a first baseman. Maybe you're not that far away if you look at the lineup and think of the guys that have been here. But at the same time, you know, it's definitely going to take some big time retooling. We'll get more into what the Giants need to do in the offseason next week. I'm planning on having Larry Kruger on from KMBR, and he has a lot of opinions about how to break this thing up. So that'll be fun to talk to him. By the way, some other news on the sportsvirus.com. Ray Woodson will be back on Dubs OT, the Warriors podcast. That is starting in a month, October the 16th. Looking forward to that. And our 49ers extra podcast continue. We had week one that we just completed with Steve Bono. And throughout the season, our regular guests, pretty much half the season, we're going to talk to C.J. Beathard, the 49ers backup quarterback. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him. And we are trying to line him up for after week two, so this coming Tuesday for 49ers Extra. All right, Gary Hughes, the Red Sox scout, our guest. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. All right, now let's get to the conversation with Boston Red Sox scout Gary Hughes. Gary, great to see you here at AT&T Park, and you're here all the time. I mean, tell us about coming out to the ballpark, whether you have a specific player that you look at, or just kind of getting general information on scouting, the Giants and the Braves here in this series.
Mostly what you just, the second thing you mentioned, which is a lot of, a little bit here, a little bit there, but I'll also get specific things, definite things I have to do for one reason or another. It could be that we missed a player that we're supposed to, that we don't have anything on, or some new guy gets brought up and nobody's got anything on it except a little minor league coverage. And the minor league coverage is not how to get him out or stuff like that. It's can he get to the big league? So it differs.
When you look at the younger guys, like in the Atlanta Braves, you've got like Acuna and you've got Albies. I mean, these guys are young and really talented. And then, maybe you might have more veteran guys. How much do you look at maybe what you had previously and kind of go off the notes and see where is this guy now? More veteran players like the Giants have versus the young guys.
Well, we're always looking to get distracted there a little bit.
Get some ice going behind you.
I know that sound. I guess you better run it by me again.
Well, when you have young guys like Albies or Acuna, and you're looking at those guys, you don't have a lot on them because they're new. It's their first year. Versus, let's say you're taking a look at a Brandon Belt, or you're looking at any of the Giants' veteran players, or a Hundley. You've seen them so much. How does that change the way you view them as far as being a scout and the report that you do?
Okay, I got you. When you're looking at these young kids, that, for instance, that you mentioned, Atlanta's coming up, that's come up. You're just starting to build a little bit of a background with them, as opposed to guys that have played around here for 15 years. That you're seeing, can they still play? Are they which way they're going? Because you're never staying the same. You're either going up, or you're either getting better, or you're getting worse. You're either going up, or you're going down. The thing that they say, oh, he hasn't improved. He's the same. He's not. He's going down, or he's going up. And with a veteran club, you're just seeing what he's got left. Has he got a lot left? He's got nothing left. And is there any value there?
I would guess that you're looking at the injury reports a lot too, because I mean it would be hard to judge somebody. Like for example, Buster Posey this year wasn't really Buster Posey. I mean, he had the hip situation. So are you looking at a lot of injury reports too?
Well, you're always aware of them, as an example, our second baseman Nunez was here, and you look at his history, his injury history. It's almost every year, and it's always the same thing: right hamstring, for 3 years in a row. I think was on the DL, and in those days it was a 15-day DL. The DL thing has changed too, with just being 10 days. So you're seeing that, and he's been great for us. He's been healthy for the most part. He did have a little bit of a leg problem, but he's really helped us, especially with Pedroia out.
Yeah, I want to ask you about him and the deal. Well, first of all, I mean, Sean Anderson looks pretty good. It could be a good trade for both teams, it seems. But when you're looking at a guy like Nunez last year, and the Giants are going to be willing to deal with the kind of season they were having, take us through what you were watching when you saw Nunez, what you liked about him, and then how did the Red Sox talk about it? What led to the deal as far as what they liked about him?
Well, we liked a lot about him when we realized that Dustin is the last couple of years. You see, something's gone wrong, and this something's really gone wrong this year. And so you're looking for somebody that can go in there and play at a championship level, because we like to think we're always in there. I mean, we won the division the last 2 years in a row. This will be three in a row, I believe. And so you're looking for a guy that can fill in at that level, and we thought Nunez was that kind of guy.
You guys are having an incredible season. It looks like the type of season where you could be a World Series type team. Tell us a little bit about just the offseason and what the expectations were for this team. You have a new manager and everything in Alex Cora. Of course, the Yankees do as well. There's some new young managers in baseball. But what you thought of the team and what you thought would happen with the Red Sox this year?
Well, first off, we had nobody could say that we're going to be as good as we have been so far. It's been amazing. And we're young. You look at the three outfielders that are outstanding, in Betts and Benintendi and JBJ. They're outstanding, and we've got the young third baseman. There's something to build for. We think we're building things in the right direction too. We got things have been great, but no way in the world could we anticipate what we've done.
How satisfying is it for a scout when a guy sort of comes out of nowhere in a way? I mean, look at Derek Rodriguez with the Giants. I don't know that they expected him to be this good. He's really throwing the ball great. So whoever, you know, looked at him, whatever scout saw him, I mean, he's got to be patting himself on the back a little bit, right?
Yeah, you feel great. You live and die with these. As a scout, you live and die with these guys that you signed or even that you have a good reporting on, and all of a sudden they're performing like you said you would on your report. Or you might get a phone call saying, what about this guy? And you come up with the right answer. You know, first off, you like the fact that they're calling you and asking your opinion. And secondly, it's nice to get it right, too.
Well, there are a couple of guys like that have happened to you throughout your career that, you know, you knew about it. You were thinking, yeah, this guy's going to do well. And maybe you're being questioned on it like, well, we don't see that. But you do. And then it worked out.
Yeah, and the opposite's true too. So I mean, you remember that? Yeah, I do remember the good things, and I kind of, it's easy to forget some of these things, but unfortunately, they don't forget.
What about when you guys are looking at the draft and looking at the younger players? You know, as far as philosophies on you know, drafting pitchers, high school versus college, and all that kind of stuff. What do you like to see? And then what about the Red Sox as far as the philosophy?
Well, it's been so long since I've been involved in the amateur stuff. My whole thing, I was a scouting director for 10 years, 6 years with the Montreal Expos and 4 years with the Florida Marlins, now the Miami Marlins. And my whole thing was athletes. I wanted young high school athletes. I wanted to get kids. I drafted very few pitchers. Almost, I think, two in out of 10 years in the first round. I wanted young athletes, and I think this, and it goes back to where I, as a high school player, I played with Jim Fregosi at Sarah High School in San Mateo, and I saw what he could do once he played four sports in high school. Still holds the broad jump, it's now the long jump record in the league meet for the 60 years later. Still holds it. And he doesn't hold a school record. It got broken 10 years later by Lynn Swan. But anyhow, I saw how good a guy could do once he concentrated on one thing. And I've been wrong on that, some guys too, you know. But
the great athlete, I mean, you know, when you look at the Giants and Alan Hansen, the guy's electrifying. I mean, and he's not going to steal a bunch of bases, but he's electrifying out there because his speed really affects the game. And I don't know if speed is sort of a lost art in the game. There's not a lot of stolen bases anymore. But do you still look at that carefully? You know, the guy who can really kind of be a game breaker because he turns a single into a triple, or, you know, scores from second on a ball that gets by somebody.
Yeah, and that's what you're talking about is good instincts too. But what the sad thing is that people don't run as much anymore. And why? Because it's poo-pooed a little bit. You know, they're afraid he might get thrown out. I mean, guess what? He might. But speed never slumps.
Right. All right, there's a couple other things I wanted to ask you about. One is the shifts. I mean, it has to be kind of difficult to evaluate now with some of these hitters, because a guy who hit the ball up the middle a lot before, he's not getting those hits anymore, so his numbers don't look the same. So how are you approaching it? You know those shifts are out there. Players are trying to adjust. I would think that you're, you know, looking at the adjustments that they're making.
Speaking of adjustment, I'm still trying to adjust to figure out who caught that, the third baseman or the shortstop, because I don't know if they switch between after the 2-0 count. They switched, and it's confusing. And I'm like Joe on a car phone. I said, why don't they just go the opposite way? What's wrong with bunting the ball? What's wrong with Bob Boone, who was a very good manager? I was with him in Cincinnati, and he used to tell the hitters, just touch the ball, just touch it. Pablo did it here for a while this year. He started hitting the ball, just ticking the ball. A lot of times it's a double, because by the time it stops rolling in left field, you're on second base.
Absolutely. And pitchers, it's so different now. I mean, there's not many complete games anymore. How do you judge a pitcher that can go deep into a game? It just seems like it's not a priority. You know, even at the minor league level, there's so many pitch counts, and you're shaking your head right now because I know you're kind of old school like me. You'd like to see those starters go deeper, right?
I've been on two Hall of Fame committees, and it's the old time. The guys before it was pre-integration. and you see guys with 200 complete games. I mean, you go, cow, you know, and to see that. But now there aren't any. And I'll give you a perfect example. The Los Angeles Dodgers last year decided that Rich Hill was going to throw four innings in the World Series game, and they're going to take him out of there. Well, they did. He did, they did, and they lost. He had like 55 pitches in four innings, something like eight strikeouts. Well, I mean, ridiculous. You take them out because why? You can't play the game before it's played. You can't go into the, this is what we're going to do. It's not chess, you know. It's play. You got to play this. It's the same thing with us. We're having an unbelievable year, but damn it, we're going to be in the playoffs and we're still going to have to play games to prove that we're any good.
Exactly. And the very last thing, and since you mentioned Pablo Sandoval, I have to ask you about him. I don't know how much of a sore spot that is because it was strange. He goes to Boston. He signed for so much money. He just didn't play like Pablo Sandoval. He came here and, you know, he was a lot better than he was in Boston. I don't know if he's the same. You know, he got hurt. But how tough is that for an organization? You spend so much money on a guy and then it just doesn't work out. I mean, there's nothing you can do to really predict that.
Well, no, you can't. I sure didn't, and you know, I thought he'd be a very effective player in our place. It just didn't happen, and you know, he there's always been the question of his weight and all that, but you know, he's still a talented guy, and it didn't work. And to our credit, we ate the whole, and that was a big meal, you know, to eat that contract. And you know, and that's why we are where we are now. We didn't sit and hold on to that contract and keep, you know, hoping something would happen. We just went out and made something else out.
When he came here and he was doing well, you were just shaking your head going, what happened here? Like, why is he playing well here now?
Yeah, I didn't have the guts to call up and say, see, I told you so.
Exactly. Hey, Gary, thanks a lot for the time. Enjoy the series here with the Giants and the Braves.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
That's Boston Red Sox scout and Bay Area native Gary Hughes. Coming up tomorrow, Thursday, we'll hear from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.